Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for SearchCRM.com.
And I'm Don Vloginger, executive editor for SearchCRM.com.
We're here on another Pipeline podcast, this time talking about the Oracle Modern CX conference that, Don, you attended earlier this April.
Yeah, in McCormick Place in Chicago. How was Chicago? It was really funny. I have a buddy, best man at my wedding, lives in Chicago. He's lived there for 20-odd years. And I'm trying to pack for the show, right? And I texted him because the weather forecast seemed kind of like all over the place. And so I said, Brian, what should I pack? Should I pack a coat? I have a cashmere sport coat. Will that be okay with a scarf and gloves or whatever? What do you think? What should I pack? And he texts me back, well, it could be anywhere from 29 degrees and windy to 74, and it might be sunny, raining, or snowing.
So your whole wardrobe, then.
And I said, you're friggin' useless. And then he sent me a screenshot of the weather forecast, which
was
literally what he had said.
So what did it end up being, sunny or snowy?
It was all of those things.
Yeah.
And so I wore a jacket at the beginning. Which I ended up packing in my suitcase on the way home.
I thought that type of weather was unique to New England, but turns out Windy City has a little bit of a daily change as well.
Oh, I grew up in Northwest Ohio in the blizzard belt, and
yeah.
You could get slapped by either Lake Erie or Lake Michigan, and I would tell you that New England, because of the hills, it's actually milder here than there, although it does, the winters seem to drag on here.
A bit longer.
Yeah, like my mom's probably getting flowers popping up in her flower bed, and we're still getting this.
And you got all your seed tumbled down the grass. Monsoon storm.
Yes, that happened. I seeded my yard last weekend, and then we got these 2 inches of rain, and our house is on the side of the hill, and I just watched it wash down the hill yesterday. Anyway,
I'm not sure how customer experience can improve your yard work, Don, but it seemed to have been the main topic over in Chicago with Oracle. So while you were there, there was a main keynote, as most of these conferences have. What was the main topic of the week? What was everyone talking about?
Well, of course, Oracle is starting to hardwire some AI and machine learning tools into their CRM product lines, which of course they call CX or customer experience management. And so that was a big product announcement they had. They're putting it across, their sales and marketing suites, and soon to be in even more of their systems and clouds. But also, what I found very interesting, one of the Oracle keynote speakers, Shashi Seth, said for openers in his keynote, this is the year, 2018 is the year where marketing will be tied to revenue. The Holy Grail is there. We'll be able to measure what revenue comes in that are connected to your marketing efforts. And just like ad tech in 2008, you could finally measure web clicks and Google Analytics and figure out the exact effect of your ad spends and what was worth it and what wasn't. This is a year where MarTech is going to be measured by ROI, and marketers and teams are going to need data tools to measure all these things.
And I've seen that a lot too with CMOs. We have a monthly CMO Q&A for our SearchCRM.com site that our readers are hopefully aware of, where most of the CMOs I've spoke with over the last year have also commented on that ROI being tied to their marketing tools as a big change in their role, and it seems like that's become a more significant aspect of that position.
In writing about CRM and talking to people who use CRM systems, we know that one size does not fit all.
Right.
There are businesses of all sizes, organizations, governments, using many different kinds of CRM, many different brands. What's right for a 500-employee business might not be right for a 20-employee business. And certainly the people with 10,000 employees internationally may work by a different set of rules. So when Shashi Seth said this, I thought, this would make an interesting story if I did a reality check. And I went around and I talked to six or seven Oracle customers and asked them what they thought. Right. And their answers made a very, well, I felt it was interesting story. Like, talk to the head of fan experience for Fanatics. Mm-hmm. The online
up on this podcast.
Online sports memorabilia and, you know, jerseys and gear. They sell all that stuff. And I asked her, what do you think? Is this the year where you're going to be tied to revenue metrics? Right. And she's like, what? It's already halfway through 2018. Are you kidding me? That's a pretty big change. I have no comment. And so that was obviously a no from her. But I talked to the head of Southwest's Rapid Rewards program, and she said, our promotions and marketing have been tied to revenue metrics, KPIs, measurements for years. Right. We are very targeted. We know exactly what airports, what we're doing. And
I mean, I think it's similar to other technologies and other trends in industries that companies are further along with tying ROI to their marketing tools than others. There's the Fanatics out there that haven't gotten to that point. There's the Southwest that have. I mean, you can see that with AI as well. And you mentioned Oracle kind of introducing its AI capabilities. Of course, they're doing that almost 2 years after Salesforce did a similar rollout. Was there any difference with Oracle's AI capabilities than Salesforce Einstein, which we're familiar with, or are they just late to the party?
I think it's too soon to tell because some of the things they rolled out that day and other things are going to be rolled out later this year. Our friend Cindy Zhu from Constellation Research definitely likened some of the tools to Einstein. It's their version of Einstein.
It's easy to make that comparison. I mean, it's a platform-wide AI implementation similar to what Salesforce did.
Well, yeah, some analysts might look at other vendors' implementations. Some analysts may look at other implementations of AI from other vendors as a little bit more sophisticated or complex, right, or a little more advanced, going deeper into the data. But, I mean, I can't tell you that it's true or not because I only pretend to know about it on the internet.
One of the things that we have to deal with is we're not using these tools on a daily basis. We're writing about the people who are using them.
Right.
And it's difficult to see, you know, I'm sure if you ask Oracle, is this the same as Einstein? They'd be like, well, Einstein, when it was rolled out, was a very entry-level way of using AI, and this is more sophisticated. That's why it's 2 years later. But
right, and every vendor says, well, our competition is playing checkers and we're playing chess. So it's sometimes hard to tease it out. But Cindy from Constellation said this is somewhat equivalent to Einstein.
Right. And our talk offline here, you brought up some interesting points of, I guess they're a customer, even though it's odd to think of a municipality as a customer for these tech vendors. But you said that Albuquerque, New Mexico is doing some interesting things. So I'll let you kind of explain what they're up to, other than being the hometown of one of the great fictional meth producers in TV history.
Well, yeah, so the gentleman that runs the website picked up an Alexa a couple years ago and used the Domino skill. That's what they call apps that run on Alexa when you say, play my favorite radio station, or Alexa, play that crazy 80s song by John Parr from the movie Vision Quest, or whatever it was. Those are skills.
Yeah.
And he use the skill to order a Domino's pizza and save his favorite order. So he would say to Alexa, Domino's, send me the usual or whatever.
There's a light bulb that went off with that.
And he said, why can't we do this for city services? Because they have a pretty well-known and well-oiled machine of a call center. Because, you know, when a resident wants to know what the hours of the zoo are, it might not be that obvious to find it on the city website. because the zoo is called something, I guess something like the Albuquerque Biosphere or something like that. So is it in the A's? Is it in the B's? They're looking in the Z's for the zoo, right? So they have this call center that helps answer questions. And, of course, some of the questions are very heavy. How do I get my child into Head Start? And maybe you don't have a smartphone. Maybe you don't have a computer. But these services must be available to you, the taxpayer, because you're working in Albuquerque. You're making it happen, right? So his idea was to make an Amazon skill that would, say, answer the top 150 questions that people ask on the FAQ. And so that would free up the humans in the call center to take care of these more underserved citizens and the citizens that are overserved or whatnot, who have their Alexa and have the wherewithal to hook it up to their Wi-Fi or their cell phone or whatever, can sort of take that top layer of questions off the responsibilities and the plates of the humans at the call center. So that's what he did. And there are certain things where it can be reported anonymously, such as graffiti, because they really want to get rid of graffiti. But sometimes people are very afraid to reveal their identities,
right,
because they don't want to have it part of the public record.
You're saying exactly where you live on this street and, you know, what time you're there. And that's a lot of revealing information.
Right, right. So it was very interesting where he had to be very thoughtful about privacy of the citizens, maybe in ways that commercial vendors don't. The commercial vendor gives you an end user license agreement and you click okay, I accept, before you order your friggin' pizza from Domino's. But when you're a public entity and you're beholden to taxpayers and voters, I would definitely say was very thoughtful in collecting the least amount of data. You know, you have to give up your address and your phone number when you have a large item you need picked up, the couch that you are getting rid of because you got a new couch, or if they forgot to pick up your recycling or whatever. So, but he was very
conscientious of that.
Yeah, minimum data center, because he didn't want to give any taxpayer data over to Jeff Bezos either.
It's interesting. You know, you mentioned, you know, kind of being able, having to scan through these municipal websites. Someone who was a municipal reporter for 5 years before this, I consider myself pretty well skilled at navigating town websites, and some of them are just absurdly difficult to find any useful information. And that's someone who's kind of computer literate and knows how to navigate, let alone someone who this is their first time visiting their town website and they're trying, or they just moved into this town and they want to get their kids registered to Head Start and you don't know how, and you know you're dealing with rugrats running around everywhere. It might be a lot easier just to say, hey Alexa, you know, where do I go for Head Start? And if the town has something like that set up, it's a lot more convenient for your constituents.
Yeah, and also some of the low-tech citizens,
right,
save the human bandwidth at the call center to help them.
Yeah.
Right? So it was also very refreshing to get sort of the public sector perspective on this and not some coached up customer throwing down the spin that they were coached. Right.
I tend to always enjoy public sector, municipalities, town governments, and how they're using technology, because they're not, you know, they're not in the pocket of a vendor, because they can't be. I mean, they're a public institution when you're a town government, so you need a lot of transparency with the tools that you use, and if they're working well, it's most likely going to work well for your direct residents, and those are fun stories to tell for us.
Going back to what you said before about websites being difficult to navigate, you know, for municipalities, that's a textbook case for what we talked about in our last podcast, which is AI for content management, because those sites were built as static pages in 1998 because each town had to have a website, and it's sort of
some of them probably still haven't even updated.
Grown like ivy, but it's in different directions. But you put AI, natural language processing, and say, what are the hours of the zoo, and maybe they can find the hours of the zoo without having to hardwire the AI. The machine learning understands that when people are asking for the zoo, they're asking for, I want to say it was the Albuquerque biosphere or ecosphere or something. Apologies to Albuquerque. But anyway.
I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure we have a reach out to New Mexico. Big New Mexican audience.
Well, I would definitely say they should be listening to our podcast because they could pick up all kinds of great stuff from the pipeline.
Yeah, and for our listeners who are, we appreciate that. And stay tuned for more episodes of the Pipeline Podcast coming up. And check out searchcrm.com for some of Don's. Stories from Oracle Modern CX.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Don.